In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joseph dreamed of the angel of the Lord. The angel warned him of Herod's rage, so Joseph fled to Egypt. Then Jesus, the new Joshua, was called out of Egypt to lead his people into the promised land. But if Herod the Great was dead, a new Pharaoh had risen who did not know Joseph. And without a dream to guide him, Joseph the guardian skipped the hometown killing fields of Bethlehem, where there was no room in the inn, where Rachel wept without comfort. And he went to Nazareth, that Philip might one day ask, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Forgetting that the Lord in the flesh is a shoot from the stump of David. From our perspective, it all seems sort of inevitable. The Lord works out the salvation of the world according to the patterns of his grace in creation. Joseph is sold into slavery, but his dreams come true. There is plenty to eat in the desert. Not even oceans can stand in the way of God's people. David kills Goliath without armor. All foresights and predictions given to the prophets come to pass. Type and anti-type, prophecy and fulfillment, weave a beautiful tapestry of grace, and how could have it been other than this? Matthew ticks off the prophecies as though he had a secret list. But I know of no rabbi in the Mishnah who foresaw the application of Hosea's call out of Egypt to the Messiah, or of Isaiah's messianic title, Nazar, being applied to the city of Nazareth, or certainly of Jeremiah's talk of the lament of Ramah, of Rachel's weeping, referring to the killed babies of Bethlehem. Even the star that led the wise man was a surprise, obvious only in hindsight. Joseph had to live by faith without sight, unsure of how it all fit, how it would work out, of what prophecies were being fulfilled or types enacted. He must have been thought to be a madman. How do you tell your friends that your pregnant fiance is a virgin? How do you leave father and mother, family and friends, and become a refugee in a hostile foreign land on the basis of a single dream? And if the marriage was never consummated, if he honored her womb by abstaining, he must have been the most pious man to ever walk this earth. And he may have been, but even if he had perfect confidence in each of the angelic messages and saw the prophecies as Matthew saw them with perfect clarity, those were long, hard years with plenty of opportunity for doubts and second guessing while suffering the constant complaints from his relatives at home. "Why did you marry her, Joseph? She has brought you nothing but trouble." And if he died, as we suspect, after our Lord was 12, but before he was 30, it was surely a blessed relief from a hard life. But the irony is that Joseph was never really the guardian. The burden never belonged to him. Jesus is the shield that keeps Satan's darts from Joseph. Jesus is the father. Joseph is the heir. And Jesus gives his name to Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus," the angel told him, "for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew points out that this fulfills the prophecy to Ahaz in Isaiah 7. And in this case, I think Joseph probably got it. That one was fairly clear. The virgin conceives as a sign against Ahaz, and thereby against Herod and Augustus as well. And his name is Emmanuel. God is with us. The Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. God is with her. The angel of the Lord comes to Joseph 3 times. God is with him. The baby is born to angelic praise. and the worship of shepherds is handed over to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, crucified, and raised. God is with us. He saves his people from their sins. He saves Joseph, the holy innocents, Mary, us. Joseph, as guardian, is like Reepicheep protecting Aslan. It is only an honor guard. Now, even Lutheran prayers, even the collect for the day, plays with the idea of patron saints. Joseph has a special appeal to those who work with their hands, to step-parents, foster parents, and adoptive parents, as well as to those who are trying to sell their houses. But who plays the guardian to Jesus? Who guards the body and blood of Jesus at the altar? Who is the heir, the protected one, shielded by the Lord, who nonetheless stands in the role of father? Perhaps we pastors should give Peter, Paul, and Patrick to the blue-collar crowd and the Italians and take Joseph as our own. Are we not the Reepicheep guardians of Jesus? And is this not the single greatest honor in all of the world, second only to that which was given to Saint Mary? In any case, his name is Jesus. He saves his people. God is with us, and Joseph's dreams have come true. In Jesus' name.
Amen.